Welcome to the Sophia Chang Show. Well, I can't have penis month without talking about the fact that size matters, and we finally have the science to back that up, as Juvenile says. That is not just Ellen's favorite song, that was like my favorite song as well. These jokes are going to be coming all month, they just flow out of me. So let's get right down to it. There are two studies in general, both published in 2015, and utterly hilarious. These are the funniest studies on earth, and you don't have to go to the NIH site and read them. I am going to recap them for you right here. The first study came out in the August 2015 issue of the Journal of Sexual Medicine. Do not laugh. This is a real journal talking about very important things. I would argue the most important part of human life. After all, you would not be here listening to my podcast if your parents had not had sex. Am I wrong about that? Unless you are a test tube baby, I am not, and you're welcome for putting in that image of your parents having sex. So let's go. There was a hilarious article called "What is a Good-Looking Penis?" This was, of course, done in Switzerland, which is probably why it is such an awesome title. Europeans just don't have that annoying hang-up that Americans do about sex. So anyway, this is called "What is a Good-Looking Penis? How Women Rate the Penile Appearance of Men with Surgically Corrected Hypospadias." I know it's less fun and less sexy when I actually tell you the entire title of the article. So it's not just like, oh, hey, girls, do you think this penis is good looking? And then they march these penises across the screen, you know, Tinder style, and then you swipe. I wish that I would participate in a study like, actually, no, I wouldn't. Please do not send me dick pics. So hypospadias is a birth defect. I did not call it a birth defect. The Mayo Clinic did. It is a birth defect where the opening of the urethra is actually on the underside of the penis instead of at the tip. As you can imagine, that's a very, that's not good. I'm just going to say that is not good. So there are surgeries to correct that. And then a lot of the men afterwards feel very self-conscious about it. So I think, you know, here come the Swiss, always neutral about everything. They wanted to see whether it was actually true that they thought the look of the penis was weird. You know, oh my gosh, where's the opening of the urethra? So anyway, they showed these pictures to 105 Swiss women. These grandmothers, these mothers of invention, let's call them the pioneers, if you will, became the experts on what is a good-looking penis. So they divided these women up in three different age groups, and this is where the study gets really weird for me, because the age groups are thus. I'm going to go down in age. So 40 to 45, 25 to 30, and 16 to 20. Let's just pause for a second. First of all, why are there 5-year age gaps between each study? Now, granted, you know, I never got further than an undergraduate level of social science inquiry, but I did conduct my own studies, both quantitative and qualitative, and I can't say I've ever designed one or even read about a study where they purposefully encoded in 5-year age gaps in the middle. So I'm looking at this, I'm going, this is a 10-year age gap between the 30 and the 40. Where's my age group? Why do we not have the proper penis adjudicating ability between the ages of 30 and 40? So that's my first question. Now, the results of that study only had significant relevance for hypospadias surgery in terms of, is there a universal good-looking penis? There really wasn't anything conclusive in that. Now, the second article that came out nearly a month later, an NIH article, this one's fabulous. So this one's called Women's Preferences for Penis Size, and it was sponsored by UCLA. It was done by three women from the Department of Psychiatry, of course, and one dude from UNew Mexico, Department of Psychology. What makes this study the best scientific study in the entire world is that it is the first, and to my knowledge, only study that used a 3D printer in order to take their measurements, literally take their measurements. So I mean, this is what a 3D printer is for, obviously, printing fake penises so that women can tell you what they prefer. Now, the whole study itself, and you can find this on NIH's, it just reads like the best comedy routine. It writes itself. And it just sounds, you know, when you do a scientific study, you have to give the reasoning behind your methodology. But in this case, it literally just sounds like a middle school kid trying to justify it's like penis gag. So it was trying to justify why it had to 3D print all these penises for the women. And so it actually says here, dimensions of commercial penile models do not vary systematically, so they were not appropriate for research purposes. Don't you just, I want to know which scientist had to write this and be like, we had to print dicks. I'm sorry, we had to print them. So they printed them using the MakerBot Replicator 2. The MakerBot Replicator. This just sounds like a sex toy company. So MakerBot people, if you haven't gone into that field, might I suggest a revenue source that could really make you billions internationally? Now, the thing about 3D printing for a scientific study of this caliber is that you have to make all of your replicas available to the public. So the printer files for these penis models are totally available. If you would like to print it, please feel free to download these files. And you can do this because the study actually goes out of its way to tell you how cost-effective and simple it is to print this. I'm going to read for you, quote, "The 3D printer used is now widely, cheaply, commercially available." So if you want to print a dick, or let's say a bag of dicks, they literally printed a bag of dicks. This solves my problem from episode 34. When life throws a bag of dicks at your face, which it has been doing to me all week, thank you, Mercury retrograde, now you can throw a bag of dicks back at it. All right, you ready for the funniest part? This is my favorite part in the whole world. Now, they printed the bag of dicks. I think there were 33 of them, which makes a hefty bag. They did this without any details. No veins, testicles, nothing. Okay. And they did this for several reasons. Some of it was because, you know, they couldn't standardize, like, just how many veins are there? You know, just what size is the bell end? And so all of that stuff, right? They were more focused on the size and not the shape or the surface details. But the funniest reason why they didn't do that is because, and I read again, quote, "Women generally rate male nudes as less attractive than heterosexual men rate female nudes. So making the penis model more realistic might have provoked negative responses." I'm just going to let you soak that in right now. So basically, they're saying that we find penises so disgusting that even though we want to sleep with them, we don't want to look at them. They didn't want to print a realistic looking penis because they were afraid that all the women would be like, that's gross, get it away from me. So I know you guys are most interested in the results. Sophia, tell us, is my dick what women want? I will tell you this about the results. They found that the results shifted based on whether the women were having a one-night stand or whether it was for long-term, meaning if it's for a one-night stand, they wanted slightly bigger penises, and for long-term, they absolutely wanted smaller, thinner ones. To that, I say, duh. I mean, if you're going to go through all that trouble to possibly have a terrible experience, take all that risk and maybe have it pan out to nothing, then you better do everything you can to ensure that you're going to have a good time. So lastly, I did want to give a shout out to somebody that the study thanks for the penis design. They call it assistance with model design and printing. And that's Ardashir Rahman. Maybe it's Rahman. And, you know, I looked him up. He's not a bad looking guy. You know, UCLA guy. He's got his MBA from Yale. So probably a douchebag. But hey, a douchebag that prints dicks. If somebody knows Artie Rahman, send him this podcast, will ya? I would love to have him on the show and ask him what it's like and see if he can print a bag of dicks for me to, you know, throw at my enemies' faces. Don't go anywhere. There's plenty more where that came from here at The Sophia Chang Show, where Penis Month has just begun, because who doesn't love our favorite little friend? Not little, it's not the size that matters. It is, size does matter. And since it does, I would so love if you could give 5 stars, show your appreciation. It's free for you to listen, but not free for me to create. So tell your friends all about it. Subscribe, rate, review on Apple, iTunes, every player, Spotify. I'm on everything.